Thank you. Good morning, and welcome once again to this radio broadcast. We're glad you're listening, and we're thankful that God has allowed you to tune in, and we're thankful that He has allowed us to be on the air to bring you another portion of His own precious Word. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. That's 124 South Main in Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. So you're welcome to come to all these services. And I know that you'll be able to receive a warm welcome from the folks at the Independence Baptist Church. If you have questions about the things that we believe or the things that I preach over this radio station, I'll be glad to talk with you about any and all of those things. If you just have a Bible question, I'll be glad to talk with you or answer that in any way that I can. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church, Post Office Box 70 in Forestdale, Missouri. That's Independence Baptist Church, Post Office Box 70 in Forestdale, Missouri. And I'll be glad to get back with you on those things. Last Sunday morning, we began a study concerning the purpose of the Day of Pentecost. Our study so far has led up to this topic. We began several Sundays ago as we discussed how that Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 16 that He would build His kind of church during His own personal ministry. We spent several sessions talking about how the Bible declares plainly that Jesus did begin His church during His own personal ministry. And then a couple of Sundays ago, we gave you 20 proofs concerning the fact that the church was organized before the day of Pentecost. It had everything in order, just like churches today have everything in order. And of course, we come to this point that if the Lord Jesus Christ organized His church during His own personal ministry, and He did, then what in the world is the day of Pentecost for? Wow, that's a real question. You know, the fact is that a lot of people miss one really simple point. And that is that the day of Pentecost is a Jewish holy day. It has nothing really to do with the church. It has nothing really to do with Gentiles. But the day of Pentecost, as we mentioned last Sunday morning, continued even after Acts chapter 2, and there was a day of Pentecost in Acts 2. There were also other days of Pentecost in which Paul wanted to stay and be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and another place he wanted to stay at Ephesus and be there on the day of Pentecost. And so there were other Pentecosts after Acts chapter 2. Moreover, we discovered that there were Pentecosts, and it was called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. We discovered that Pentecost actually means 50, and the time is calculated 50 days from the Passover, that is the Feast of Weeks, or as we would call it today, the Day of Pentecost. We found that just like God gave the law to Moses 50 days after Israel left the land of Egypt, and God gave the law because of unbelief, so it was that God, 50 days after His crucifixion, gave languages unto the Jews because of unbelief. The law was given to Israel because of unbelief. And on the day of Pentecost, we find that God is giving the power to His church to preach the everlasting gospel because of the unbelief of the Jews. Now, we talked about the unbelief of the Jews some last Sunday morning. We talked about how that the Jews had rejected Christ during His own personal ministry. How that the Jews had rejected Christ, even the miracles that He did. Just simply because, well, Jesus didn't do those miracles like they thought He ought to do them. They wanted Jesus Christ to conform to their way. And Jesus Christ doesn't do that. He is after God. We found also that when Jesus Christ was crucified on the Passover, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And for the first time, the Jews, the priests, were able to look into that Holy of Holies and see the Ark of the Testimony and the cherubims there that were over it. That would throw a real scare into anybody. We also found that after the resurrection of Christ, that the graves of those saints which slept, had died, they were opened. And those people came out of the graves and went into the city of Jerusalem and talked to a lot of people and showed them that Jesus is the Christ. You know, in all of those things, people were not saved. You know why? Because it takes the preaching of the Word of God for a soul to be saved. A person has to hear the Word of God. It is not that miracles and signs are what it takes to cause anybody to be saved, but rather it is the preaching of the Word of God that causes people to be saved. They've got to hear. The Bible said, how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? All of these things, you see, were going on. But so what Jesus Christ is doing to His church is that He's given His church power on the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel. Now, let's go back and let's look at some things concerning the giving and the receiving of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ, before His ascension and during His personal ministry, had promised two things to the church concerning the Holy Ghost. Number one, He had promised them that they would have the Holy Ghost. And then, number two, He had promised them that they would have power from the Holy Ghost. And those are two different things. Notice in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus Christ said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now notice verse 39, which is in parentheses. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Notice in these verses that Jesus had just proclaimed in the verses previous to verse 37 through 39 concerning His crucifixion and resurrection. The Jews didn't understand what He was saying, and they questioned among themselves. And so Jesus, on the last day of the feast, gave the prophecy of verse 37 and verse 38. The explanation of the prophecy is given in verse 39. So we see that it is a special manifestation of the power of God that is going to be given to sinful man. Men will be able, by the power of God, to so preach the gospel that many will be saved. The reference is to the day of Pentecost, when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon the church that Jesus established during His own personal ministry, and they began to be witnesses to all the world, starting at Jerusalem, as Christ stated in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But there's more passages concerning the giving of the Holy Spirit. Notice in the book of John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, Jesus said this to His church, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And so we have this question to ask about the reading I've just read, John 14, verse 15 through verse 18. Who is Jesus talking to? Well, if you just read chapter 13, the chapter previous, you'll find that Jesus is talking to his church and the individuals in his church. There's where Peter is told that he's going to deny the Lord three times before the cock crow. In John chapter 14, you know, that's the place in verse 1, there where Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And Jesus is instructing his church not to be afraid, but to trust him, that to look forward to dwelling in a special place he has for them in eternity. And then, of course, Thomas, who is a member of the first church, he says he don't know where Jesus is going. And Jesus then tells him, well, you know, I'm the way. I'm going to the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Philip, who's another member of the church at Jerusalem, he continues the questioning by saying, show us the Father. And Jesus gently rebukes Philip by saying that everybody that's seen the Son has seen the Father, for they are one. Notice, in all of these places, that Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you a special comforter, and he is talking to his church. In John chapter 20 and verse 21 through 23, Jesus says this, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, look at this. In John 20 and verse 22, when Jesus had given them peace, and he said, "I'm sending you," he said unto them, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Listen, folks, John chapter 20, verse 21 through 23 is a passage that a lot of people wonder about. But do you know what happens in John 20, verse 21 through 23? This is the time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ actually receives the power of the, actually receives the Holy Ghost. They're going to receive the power, the public manifestation of this private giving of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. You'll notice this, that the time period that we're talking about here in the book of John chapter 20 is after the ascension. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ and before his ascension. There's also a couple of other passages that talk about the same thing in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. These go together as Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to give you the promise of the Father. And I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he says in the book of Acts that after you have received the power of the Holy Ghost, then you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we find this, that Jesus Christ promised in the book of John chapter 7, in the book of John chapter 14, and the book of John, he promised in these two places that he would give them the Holy Ghost. And then in John chapter 20, Jesus Christ gave the Holy Ghost unto his church, telling them that after they receive the power of the Holy Ghost, then they're going to be witnesses into all the world, beginning at Jerusalem. And you know, that's exactly what they did on the day of Pentecost. They received power from God on high when the Holy Spirit came upon them in power, and they were witnesses to all of those unbelieving Jews. Remember, that's what the day of Pentecost is. It is a Jewish holy day. And on that day, there were Jews out of 17 different nations gathered together there in Jerusalem to worship God their way. But God gave power unto that young church, and they were witnesses of the power of God. And 3,000 people were saved and added to the church that was at Jerusalem. Well, we see that our time has gone away this morning. Again, if you have questions about any of this, you can contact me. I'll be glad to talk with you about it. In the meantime, come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. Thank you now for listening.